Hello at Marketing for Changemakers, the podcast for all social entrepreneurs who want to learn how to become successful in marketing and at the same time be transparent, honest and sustainable. You want to have an impact and change the world with your business? Everyone should learn about your project. With Marketing for Changemakers, I will support you in all these questions. I will provide you with a lot of tips, insights and ideas and show you how to create a successful marketing strategy that fits your sustainable business. My name is Zina and I'm happy that you will listen to my podcast. Thank you so much. Hello Jess, I'm super glad that you're on my podcast episode today and we are actually talking about a very important topic about how to set up a successful crowdfunding campaign. But before we get started with the topic, maybe you can introduce yourself a little bit and give some personal and some business background so that everyone knows who's my guest today.
Sure, thanks for having me. So I am Jess and I'm the founder of Crowdfund 360, which is a crowdfunding consultancy. We work independent of the crowdfunding platforms, but basically we help clients that have some kind of social purpose run successful crowdfunding campaigns. Prior to this, I worked for a crowdfunding platform. Prior to that, I worked in international charities, Holland, Egypt, and Bangladesh, doing marketing and communications. So I've always worked in the social good sector. I don't think I can actually work for a corporate that I don't believe in. Like, I just don't think I can do it. I'm based in Brighton in England, but I travel a lot around for work. But I've decided to make this area my home for the next year at least. And I love it. It's by the beach. It's very relaxed and everyone's super friendly.
Yeah, we just talked about it. I can confirm that because I've been to Brighton when I was 13 for an exchange program. So it's a very nice city. Yeah, it's super interesting what you already shared. And I think crowdfunding is very, very important, especially and also for social businesses and social entrepreneurs. Maybe you can share some more information how you support social entrepreneurs and you have your own business called Crowdfund 360. So maybe you can give some more examples of what you do, how you work with those people together and how you support them.
Yeah, sure. So crowdfunding, it's not magic. A lot of people say it's magic and like random people will just give me money, but you know, that just never happens. But it's really following a strategy. So crowdfunding for me is three things. It's the strategy, it's the creativity, because if everyone follows the same strategy, it's just going to be really boring. So you've got to make it fun and exciting with creative content. And then it's the audience psychology. And we work with all three of those elements. So with the strategy, it's like baking a cake or something. You can't start with the icing unless you've actually, you know, mixed up all of the dry ingredients and started baking a cake in that order. And there is really a recipe to succeed. You've got to plan it correctly, you've got to tell the story correctly, you've got to build a crowd, you've got to make that perfect project page, and then you've got to communicate the campaign as well. And after the campaign's finished, you've got to follow up with those people that gave you money to make sure that they'll give you money again in the future, and they'll give other people money again in the future. So what we do is we teach this strategy to the clients in a variety of ways, depending on their needs and obviously their budgets and how much they want to raise. So we run workshops and we run an 8-week online training course. And then we run full campaign management as well. If clients want to raise over like 25-30K, maybe they don't really want to do the work themselves, or they're really busy running their organization, which most people are, then we do the full campaign management. But even with the online training, we've seen people go up and raise over 30K over that 8 weeks. It's a step-by-step process because crowdfunding is quite stressful. There's a lot of work to get done. So we want to make sure that we give it to the people that we work with in the easiest way possible. And that's, you know, week by week, do this week, do the homework, check back in the week afterwards so that no one really gets overwhelmed. What we just don't want is we don't want people to just give up because it's so stressful. So we're really quite good with the hand-holding through the process.
Great. And do you think a crowdfunding campaign is something that every business can use, or is it just something for, I don't know, maybe product-related businesses, also for service-related businesses?
It's much easier for product-related businesses to crowdfund because they can easily do a rewards crowdfunding campaign where they're giving away their product as like a pre-sale. Services can do crowdfunding as well. However, you've got to think how you can give away your service to the audience. And people do kind of still like to get something physical. So it's thinking, can I create something physical myself that's related to my service to give away? So maybe like a calendar or a diary or, you know, notepads with whatever your services are imprinted into those things. Or can I partner with a product business in my sphere and give away those as rewards? Obviously, the financials come a bit more complicated when you do that, but that's the best way to make a service-based business succeed. So we had a service-based business that was for a website for food, for ethical food and fashion. And, you know, not many people give to a website. That's not a sexy thing to crowdfund for. And obviously it's a website. What am I getting in return? But actually, because the website was highlighting many ethical and sustainable food and fashion brands, we managed to get some rewards from them. So there was a cookbook for vegetables that was very seasonal, only used the seasonal vegetables. And they gave us, you know, many copies of the cookbook to be selling as a reward. And there was ethical coffee companies that would give us bags of coffee that we could then put with a bamboo keep cup and send that as a reward, you know, and you're supporting the website as well. If you do it that way, it works much better.
Okay. It sounds, as you just mentioned, creativity is also a very important part. So it sounds like you have to be creative to be also successful as a service-based business. But yeah. Do you think if you look at your clients, most of your clients are actually product-based businesses? Is that right?
Most of my clients are product-based businesses, yes. Or if they're not, they're very big on the social impact side. So we could actually just run a donation crowdfunding campaign and we don't need to give anything away. Hmm. Alternatively, if they're apps, then you can easily run an equity crowdfunding campaign for apps, which means you're giving away shares in your business rather than the app itself.
Yeah, you just mentioned two different types of crowdfunding campaigns. Can you maybe explain a little bit more what different types exist in general?
Mm-hmm. So there's three types that we work with: donations, rewards, and equity. So a donation-based crowdfunding campaign, you're not giving anything in return. It's a donation, but you have to give them that warm, fuzzy feeling that they've done something good for society. So, you know, a business can't really do a donation-based campaign because at the end of the day, like, I'm just making you richer. I'm getting poorer to make you richer. Like, that doesn't make me feel good about myself. But for a business that has a social impact, if you focus more on the social impact element, and actually I feel like I put a girl through education, even though I bought your watch, that's going to make me feel good about myself. Or, you know, I'll give you a donation and not buy your watch because I've put a girl through education rather than I've increased your profits.
So it's not only for NGOs, it's also for purpose-driven businesses, the donation.
Yeah, purpose-driven businesses can do it. You know, donation-based crowdfunding campaigns, you always raise less because there's only so much good I want to feel for, you know, being poorer and not getting anything back. Then you have the rewards-based campaigns, which is when I would, you know, buy your product or your service. And if you're a purpose-driven business, obviously I feel good about myself as well. But in general, this is good for pre-sales. So for example, if you make flip-flops out of, you know, like recycled plastics or plastics that you find in the ocean, quite popular, you know, you have to go and create, you have to like manufacture all of the flip-flops and then get them all like what, shipped over to your warehouse or your house or whatever. And then you have to run a sales campaign and hope that you sell the flip-flops. Crowdfunding, you run the sales campaign before you've put the order into the factory so that then you're only ordering really the amount that you need and the amount that you know that you've already sold. And it forces you to do that sales, that marketing, building an email list, getting PR before you've even, you know, given 50K, 100K to a factory to make your product. So that works really well for product businesses. On the other hand, you've got the equity crowdfunding, which is good for business expansion and growth, and also for websites and apps, etc. Because these ones are you're looking to raise, you know, minimum 150K, maximum a couple of million, really. But you have to give away shares in your business.
Okay, yeah, it's very interesting. Cool. Thank you for the overview. And what do you think? Why is crowdfunding in general such a strong tool? And do you think that a lot of businesses neglect this topic?
Yeah, I think crowdfunding, I think crowdfunding is amazing. Obviously, I love it because, you know, when you start a business and you think to yourself, okay, like I need to make a website, I need to make a social media, I need to make an email list, I should probably, you know, find some journalists to write about me, but also I need to get sales and all of the other things that you have to do with a business. I need to take photos of the products, I need to get testimonials, I need to do all of those things. When you're in the situation of running a business, which I'm sure, you know, you've been in, I've been in, probably people listening to this have been in, one usually ends up taking a bit more of your time than the others, and you end up neglecting some of them. So you're like, oh, I just really like need sales. I'll do PR next year, or I'll do it in the next few months. But then the next few months come and then you're like, damn, now I really have to focus on social media. I'll leave PR again. Or whatever it is that you... There's always some parts of business that you prefer doing than others as well.
I think everyone knows that. Everyone can relate to that, yeah.
Exactly. But the thing with crowdfunding is it just forces you to do all of the things at once. So we always work with our clients for, you know, between like 3 and 6 months, preparation, run the campaign, and then a few weeks afterwards to make sure that everything is tied up well. But it forces you to do all of those things in that time period. You know, because you can't run a crowdfunding campaign with just one element of marketing. You have to do every single element of marketing, and you have to do every single element really quite well. So there's no point in having a great video if your email list is so low that actually no one is seeing it. But equally, there's no point in having a really huge email list if your video is really poor. So everything has to be done good. So the thing that I love about crowdfunding is it just forces you to think of all of those different options and actually act on them at once, so that then when you finish the crowdfunding, your business is just such at a good stage holistically across every platform that, you know, you're ready to take it to the next level.
But it sounds like you need a lot of manpower to get started, right? So what does it need to start a crowdfunding campaign? Or maybe you can give a little timeline or some step-by-step?
So we always work with people for a minimum of 2 months before launch. You can generally do everything in that 2 months. But again, if you've got way more commitments, you know, if you've got a family, if you're traveling, if you've got some holidays booked in and a business to run, and maybe you've got a real job as well on the side still, then you want to take more than that 2 months. Mm. You've got to commit. Number one is like, you've got to commit. The commitment's the hardest thing. Once you've committed, everything else is fine. But if you've only got a semi-commitment, it means you're not really going to try as hard because you think you could back out of it. And then your campaign is obviously less likely to succeed. In general, you've just got to figure out what the audience wants, because the audience at the end of the day is giving you money. So you have to give them what they want, not what you necessarily want them to do. So it's thinking of the story. What is the story that most resonates and gets people, your audience, to pledge the money? Then it's working out who's your target audience, where to find them, and how to bring them to you before the crowdfunding campaign launches. Because, you know, if I just met you for the first time and I said, hey, can you buy my product? Like, no, you're just going to ignore my Facebook post. You're just going to walk past me in the street. But, you know, if I've bonded with you, if I make you aware of what we're doing, why we're doing it, like this post, share your thoughts on this, etc., then I ask you for the money, obviously more likely to buy into the product and join me on the journey. So really, that's why we say 8 weeks, because this building of trust with an audience is what takes the most time. Then you've got to make the video, you've got to take the photos, you've got to build the project page, you've got to work out the rewards and the finances and the shipping costs. And then you also need to write all the emails, the social media posts, the press releases, organize any events, etc. We always do that before launch, because once you've launched, you've got like 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. Get money in that 5 weeks. You don't want to be stressing out about writing some social media posts. Very important, yes, but you know, you have from the day that you listen to this podcast or the day that you were born to go and create all of that content. So spend more time now doing that, so that during that 5 weeks, it's literally just, you know, the only thing you're doing with the social media and the email and the press releases is literally just changing how much you've raised on certain days.
When it comes to resources, what do you think, what kind of resources do I need to to start a crowdfunding campaign? I mean, when it comes to money, when it comes to manpower, and also maybe other important resources?
We always try and do everything with as little money as possible, because yes, you could spend a lot of money on Facebook ads and a lot of money on PR and stuff, but it's not really bringing you sustainable customers. They're not going to come back again and again. What we want is to bring you like a loyal tribe following that is going to stick to your business and your services and your products for a long time. We've had clients raise 50K and they've only spent money on my consulting services, because you've got amazing networks. You probably know someone that can make you a video, either for free or cheap. Mm. You probably know someone that can write you a press release or, you know, do your social media posts, etc. And it's using your networks in the best way possible. So like, it's not very useful of you to ask me for £25 for your crowdfunding campaign. It's much more useful to ask for £25 of my time to give you advice and feedback, because that's going to bring more people in overall. Or it's much more useful to ask, you know, Jess, can you put this in your newsletter or on your social media? Because obviously my fans really love crowdfunding. And you know, if like even just 10 of them give you £25, that's a lot more money than if you just ask me for £25. And so it's really looking at, you know, we don't need to spend money on the crowdfunding. Ideally, yeah, like, you know, spend money on the strategy that I give you because you know it's going to work, rather than spending 6 months of your life going to research every crowdfunding campaign and work out all the commonalities between them. Now, I've worked for a crowdfunding platform. I get all the data from the platforms, and obviously we've run 35 campaigns ourselves. We know what works and what doesn't. So we're just going to save you a lot of time to only spend your time on the things that we know work. So you can do it for free. I mean, it's always easier if you've got more people in your team, because they've also got their own networks and they've also got their own skills. But we have solo founders as well go on and crowdfund.
So, but overall in general, you think like networking or a network is like one of the most components of a successful crowdfunding campaign? Or what do you think is the most successful element?
Network is, well, there's no one successful piece. That's the annoying thing. It's all of those pieces together that I've mentioned done well. But you can't crowdfund without a crowd. It seems obvious, but the number of people that email me and say, I want to raise like £1 million and I've got no mailing list and I've got no social media. Like, where are these people going to come from? When you ask for money, people run away from you. They don't just appear out of nowhere, thin air. So your networks are the most important thing with crowdfunding, but also I think there's like so many different elements of life.
And what do you think are the do's and don'ts when it comes to a crowdfunding campaign?
Don't rush it. I once had a guy who crowdfunding campaign was not going very well, and he came to me for advice, and I was like, okay, how long did you take to prepare it? You know, I'm thinking in my head, minimum 8 weeks. And he's like, well, I ordered a coffee, I drank the coffee, and then at the end when I finished the coffee, I clicked launch. And I was like, mate, it doesn't take 8 weeks to drink a coffee. You've really, like, take time to plan, because this time now is infinite and you can make it so good for the campaign. That's my number one. Don't rush it. Another one is just to like do trust. Trust that it will work, because campaigns always raise the most money in the first week and the last week. And again, some people come to me when their campaign is live and they're in the third week and they're really stressing out because, you know, they've had several days with no money coming in. And that's the point where a lot of people just give up. They're just like, oh, no one believes in it anymore. It was great whilst it lasted. It was a fluke. Give up. But actually, you know, enjoy, well, not enjoy, but don't stress in that middle period. Because at the end, when you get that 14 days to go, 10 days to go, 7 days to go, that is when things hit hard again and that money comes rolling in again. So do trust yourself. You've put in the hard work. It will pay off. Again, there's no magic on crowdfunding. You know, the more effort you put into it, the higher the reward at the end of the day.
Great. And you said you already launched 35 campaigns with your business. Maybe you can share some practical examples, some campaigns that went very well and why they went well.
Yeah, so there was one campaign, the campaign that raised £50,000 with no spend other than our consulting services. That was for sustainable fishing technology, which like you know, that's not sexy really, is it? Basically, cod like blue light, mackerel like red light, you put the fishing lights on the fishing net and only the correct fish will get caught. Great for society and the oceans. But like, how to get people in the everyday world to care about that? It's hard. So what we did was we partnered with Oaxaca, which is a Mexican restaurant chain, but it only sells sustainably caught fish. And they gave us lots of vouchers to sell, £25 voucher. So, you know, £25 to our crowdfunding campaign, in return you get a £25 voucher to spend at this restaurant. Like, that is something that people want, if they like Mexican food, obviously. But like, if I was trying to sell them, you know, a light to put on their own fishing net, that wouldn't do very well because, you know, not many people have fishing nets. In addition, we were creative because just for £5 every Friday for 6 months, you'd get an email that had a fish pun. So it's just like a pretty email with some nice ocean image with some silly fish pun in it, like, back our campaign today, don't leave it to salmon else. And it was just something so stupid like that. But at the end of the day, people really found it quite amusing. And they enjoyed it for 6 months, just getting that random email of just a little bit of humor. That again, you know, other campaigns aren't doing that. And it also really showed the founding team, it was a team of three, it showed their personality come across quite a lot, because they were not like sensible lab coat wearing people. They were young professionals that, you know, had a personality and really enjoyed the work that they did.
Do you think personality is also one of the like main facts that makes a crowdfunding campaign successful? Is it important to show your personality?
I wouldn't say it's one of the things that makes it successful, but I would say it's very hard, if not impossible, to run a campaign without being the face of it. Because, you know, we're not Microsoft, we're not Apple, we're small business owners that have a personality and we're doing it for like whatever the thing we're passionate about, and we've got to hear that passion come across in the voice of the person. You've got to show their face, their eye contact, to make that connection across the internet, across thousands of miles, because backers will come from all over the world. And they see your face, they see your passion in your voice, they hear it. That's what they're buying into. They're buying into, you know, you as an entrepreneur, putting all your effort into this thing that you love.
What I always love to do is to give some like practical tasks or some like call to actions in the podcast episode. Do you have something that people can implement directly when they want to start with their crowdfunding campaign soon, for example, something that they can do right now after the episode?
There's a couple of things. So first up, number one is like, I would go and look at some other similar campaigns in your field. I just type in whatever field you're in, like sustainable fashion or food, whatever. And then I just put the word crowdfunding or Kickstarter or Indiegogo after that into the Google, and then have a look at some campaigns, because, you know, in globally, less than like 20% of campaigns actually reach their target. So have a look at the ones that reach their targets and did really well, but also have a look at the ones that failed, so that you get that emotional gut jerk reaction of like, oh, that was really bad. And then you know that you're definitely not going to do that. Or you look at the ones that did really well and then you're like, ooh, I really like what they did there. And then obviously you can just kind of go on and copy that for your own campaign. And then you can start to see some things which are similar for the good campaigns and similar for the bad campaigns. That's number one. And then the second thing is really just to document through video and through photos your process and journey as a small business. You know, even if you want to crowdfund later this year, even if you want to crowdfund in 2 years' time, it's always good to have photos and video footage that you can come back to and show that process. So an example here is I had a client who wanted to crowdfund for ice cream. And I was like, okay, you sold your ice cream at festivals all summer. Do you have photos of people enjoying the ice cream, videos of you selling the ice cream, etc.? And they were like, no. And I was like, right, well, you know, it's England and it's, you know, October. It's like 12 degrees outside. Do you think we can get some of your friends to go stand outside in shorts and t-shirt eating ice cream and have fun?
And so you need a network again.
Yeah, so you've got to have friends. And they need to love you a lot to go and freeze and eat ice cream outside. But obviously, if he'd have taken the pictures step by step as he'd like progressed on his journey, it would have made life so much easier. So that's my number one tip, really, is just document. You know, if you have a meeting, take a photo. If you're drawing an earlier sketch of what your product might look like in the future, you know, make sure you're capturing that, so that you don't have to go back and think, right, what was the first iteration of this swimsuit look like? Just you've got the pictures already there.
Okay, that makes absolutely sense. And if people want to start now, how can they, for example, if they're interested in working together with you or learning more from you, how can they contact you? And also, do you have some more advices on maybe books or other podcasts they can listen to or read to prepare themselves?
Yeah, sure. So I'll send you over the pre-launch checklist. So I have a pre-launch checklist that, like, just don't even launch your crowdfunding campaign until you've managed to tick off all of those elements. Tick them all off and then you should be launching quite well. So I'll send that over. If people want to work with us, then, I mean, the online training is the best option. 8 weeks. I can send you the link for that.
Yeah, I will put everything in the show notes. So that people.
Yeah, otherwise, you know, our website, crowdfund-360.com. And then you can also apply to work with us for the campaign management, but we only take people on who want to raise over 30K for that. And depends on the time of year and also our capacity. So we're looking now to get people for May onwards for that one, because fully booked until then. But the online training, there's no limit on the people we can help. Podcasts, not really. Like, the most crowdfunding podcasts are very American, and they give quite a light overview of, like, how fun and easy it is. And I listen to them and I'm like, oh gosh, my podcast.
Maybe you should start one.
Yeah, so I'm starting a podcast to interview people who have done crowdfunding before, to talk about their experiences of it. Because again, if you see a campaign that you like, just contact the owner and ask them what was their troubles and what was their, you know, easy and hard about it, etc. Because sometimes things are quite specific to certain industries. We had a campaign that was raising money for skin-colored lingerie for women of color. And although we got 12 press pieces within 5 weeks and they were on national TV in the UK, you know, unfortunately, that demographic is not one that often gives to crowdfunding campaigns, so they didn't manage to reach their target. But they got so much brand awareness from it, and engagement, that in the end, they didn't really mind they didn't reach their target. I minded. they loved it. They were still in, you know, as I said, 12 different online magazines and newspapers, and they got the national coverage. That means their sales have increased overall in general.
Okay.
But the crowdfunding didn't quite reach the target there.
Okay. So a crowdfunding campaign can also be successful and on different levels, as you just mentioned.
Yeah. So we obviously I like people to reach their goals, their financial goals. For me, that's how I measure success on the just on the easy side. It's like 83% of my campaigns reach their financial target. That's my success ratio. But on the other hand, it's good for so much more, because having that 12 press pieces, opening up those doors to journalists, you can go back to them again and again. Mm. Obviously, everyone's email lists and social media followings increases. That's just a given. We've had people go on to access further investment after the crowdfunding. They use the crowdfunding campaign as proof that they've got the customers, they've got the money, now they need the investment. Investors love that. People have gone on to take part in accelerators, again, through showing that crowdfunding success. And one of my best was, we had a refugee charity that was like so small in the UK, and then suddenly they were on the front page of like UNHCR as, you know, a really good example. And it was because of the crowdfunding campaign. This many backers in just this few weeks, a community came together, etc.
Cool. And that's a really amazing story. So looks like people should give it a try and try crowdfunding for their businesses. Thank you very much for being in my podcast episode today. I really appreciated it. And I think we learned a lot from you. If you want to, you can give some final advice or a final tip or a final word from your side.
Final tip is really just, you know, take a look at the pre-launch checklist and just don't rush it. Take your time, because, you know, you only get a couple of chances before your audience is really just going to lose trust in you. So you really want to make sure it's the best campaign that you can make.
Great. Yeah, as I said, I will put your website and everything in the show notes, also the checklist you will provide. Thank you very much for it. And thank you a lot for being on the podcast episode today.
Thanks for having me.